Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. Here today to talk to you some San Diego Comic-Con 2018 goodness. Everything that isn't all the other shows we cover that we'll be updating those different feeds throughout the week.
Yes, depending on when you're listening to this, we already have some Star Trek Discovery and some Iron Fist that's already come at you. We've got Cloak and Dagger on the way, Shield on the way. But Pete, enough about those shows because they got their own loving focuses. Let's start with some of the other stuff. The Aquaman trailer, what were your thoughts?
I really liked it. I can't trust it. It's my biggest concern. Really dug the look of Black Manta.
Yeah, well, let me say, Pete, first of all, okay, I have a strong dislike for sharks, and I did not like the use of sharks in any way, let alone for a slight funny. Okay, they're out to kill us all. There are sharks, what I've been told at Aquaria in our fair state of New Jersey is that when you put your toe in the ocean, there's a shark within 100 feet of you, be it big or small, be it out to kill you because your distant relative said, "Now smile, you son of a boom," or not. But I digress, Pete. This was a trailer that it set my expectations a bit low, and then I said, I feel good about that. Did this set out to be the greatest comic book movie ever that talks about ecology, racism, politics, the world? No, it said, there is a fish guy who's got like a kingdom he didn't know about. Now he has to go there and like clean things up, and he's going to kick some butt. There's going to be like shark horse harnesses and other sea creatures that battle, and he's going to fight for good. And there's a redhead in it, which is okay by me. And there's going to be a lot of under the water sea adventure type stuff. So, Pete, I watched this trailer and I said, that looks like a really fun popcorn movie. I think not enough of these movies say we can simply be fun. There needs to be this level of profundity. This looks like a lot of fun. And you know what, Pete? We're going to get an ecological message before, during, and after the movie. Okay, great. I'm ready to see Aquaman.
Well, I mean, if it didn't take how many movies of this DC extended universe to get to a point where we can not be dark. I would argue Wonder Woman, and I think the proceeds show it, was the ray of light. And how they fix this, how they get it to where it should be. Is this Aquaman what we've seen, a step in the right direction? I think mostly I'm a little concerned about, all right, the conflict. We're going to invade land and fight with them. There's some red herrings in the trailer. Some of the stuff is flashback stuff, the battle footage. So not quite as epic, perhaps, but you know, the over-reliance on CGI. And then let's talk optics, Matt. You know, the little tag at the end of the trailer with the redhead jumping out of the plane over a desert, and then Momoa, redheads, you gotta love them. That would be funny, Matt, if hashtag Me Too had not become a thing last fall and all the way to now, and he had not been a early victim of that because of some comments made at 2011 San Diego Comic-Con, when he joked about raping characters on screen, that's what Khal Drogo gets to do and why it's such a great role and why he loves it. So maybe these people didn't understand this trailer would be coming out at San Diego Comic-Con, where he had a really big faux pas those many years ago, which came back up last year and he had to walk back.
I think it certainly is a fair point. I must admit, I haven't seen negative feedback about that particular part of the trailer. Maybe it's just amidst the other, you know, all the other goings on in Comic-Con, let alone some of the, whether it's Me Too or whether it's just you know, unfortunate comments, i.e. James Gunn and whatnot. Maybe there just wasn't the space. If there was a reaction, there wasn't the space for it to kind of get traction. I think your point, though, is completely valid, and it's something to keep in mind as the marketing moves forward. I mean, you know, as near as I can tell, Pete, most people like Jason Momoa, whether it's guys who want to be him or women who want to be with him or guys who want to be with him or whatever. So maybe they were relying on that without maybe thinking through, hey, somebody, I was going to say with an agenda, and that's the wrong perspective to take, but somebody that somebody might take that the wrong way, and, you know, truly, and that's not a direction Warner Brothers wants to go in.
Yeah, and I think with everything that's presented in this trailer, they're selling him. They're selling the character as portrayed by Momoa. The version that appears in Justice League, I don't call Aquaman. I call him Catchphrase.
Dude, bro. Pete, a couple of quick questions, related questions for you regarding Aquaman. Number one, is the red hair computer generated?
Perhaps-ish.
Does it have a mind of its own and can it act in a protective capacity?
No.
Thank goodness. Moving on, Pete. Matching Aquaman's primary color slate, its optimistic uptake, its, hey, come to the movies and have fun with comic books. It's the trailer for Shazam. I will admit, Pete, I am not a fan of Shazam, a.k.a. DC's Captain Marvel, not to be confused with Marvel's Captain Marvel. I think there also might be a third Captain Marvel out there that predates both companies, but I digress. Actually, that might be Shazam. Anyhow, Pete, I don't really love the character, but I enjoyed this trailer, I think, as much as I could as somebody who's just not a huge Shazam fan.
I like Shazam. I've read some of the comics. I was a big fan of the character as used in the Injustice storylines and the video games. And I think as presented in this trailer, it looks fun. It looks light. I happen to like this trailer better than the Aquaman trailer.
That is really interesting. I think me as a Superman guy, I mean, look, the DC Captain Marvel, who prior to that was a Fawcett publishing thing. But anyhow, the DC Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, who I think now just goes by the name Shazam, probably because they want to get out of the way of the whole Marvel thing. Anyhow, I kind of always said, oh, he's such a blatant ripoff of Superman, which is true, but that's not the fault, certainly, of this movie. This is a 60-year-old thing here. For me, what the trailer captured was the real essence of the comic, which at its heart is so different than all these other characters, which is he's a kid. He's a kid who gets to be a super space man by saying this one word, which is completely different than, oh, my parents were killed, now I'm Batman, or my parents sent me away from my home planet, now I'm Superman. He's a kid like kid you and kid me.
Yeah, and you know, the orphan angle, the testing out of the powers, I think the best scene in the trailer is trying to fly and, you know, that like millisecond of zero G and then coming back down on the half pipe.
And we've all been there, right? Where you make the jump and for 1 second it's working and then you realize no, it's not. He just had it for a couple more moments than that. So I'm certainly looking forward to going to see that April 5th. You know, Aquaman's December 21st, Shazam April 5th. I think Zachary Levi is a great pick. And again, do I expect this to take a deep look into life as a teenager in these difficult times? No, it's a kid who's got a raw deal in life. And guess what, Pete? When he says a magic word, he turns into a superhero. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, with Injustice, I think the character has found a new audience. I think there are kids who have never picked up a Shazam comic before that have played this character who are able to, you know, change their size and suddenly take on superhuman abilities. And it's kind of the classic little kid trope.
Now, Pete, at this Warner Brothers panel where we got Aquaman, where we got Shazam, we'll talk Wonder Woman in a second, something else was released, Pete. That's the WODC. Do you know what that is? Because I didn't like 12 hours ago.
I don't care about it. How about that?
Pete, WODC is the official new name, okay, as of July 21st. It stands for Worlds of DC. That's the umbrella that captures all DC TV and film. And I'll say this, Pete, we know they were not successful with Justice League the way they wanted to be. The notion of having the shared universe, it didn't gel as they want. The notion that they're going to kind of separate these guys and gals out and maybe not set up expectations of, did we seed Justice League 2 enough in Aquaman and Shazam and Wonder Woman 1984, they want to back off that. The Worlds of DC leave enough wiggle room to say, yes, we love you, Arrowverse. Also, where it says, we're not in any rush to have Shazam shake hands with Aquaman.
Yeah, you couldn't hear my eyes rolling, but that's what I did when I heard that. So, and it's no secret, podcasting all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we do, including being the only podcast that does all of the TV shows. Nobody else comes close. But DC on the other side, it's a mess, and they have largely very good TV offerings that they choose to zag away from when it comes to the film. So to turn this into, okay, they're different worlds, I just don't think it's the solution.
Well, certainly continuing in, Pete, what used to be the DCEU, continuing in the WODC, Wodick? I don't know. As Wonder Woman 1984, it's only 3 weeks into filming. They showed some footage, great audience reaction, and certainly widely reported ahead of time, but certainly confirmed by his presence on screen. Pete, who's back?
That would be Chris Pine, Matt. We had seen a photo of him released a little earlier in the summer. Patty Johnson put that out there of him in the mall down in DC where they're filming, in full 80s parachute pants regalia.
I don't care how they bring him back, as long as it's not guy trapped in the ice escaping the German bombers with the Infinity Cube or whatever. But like, he was such a wonderful presence, and I think everybody acknowledges that. And I think if they knew how the movie would have gelled with him, B, what he added, and C, as I recall, Pete, a lot of his best lines were ones that he improvised and whatnot. So it's the right thing to bring him back. We know at the end of the day, as I always say, Pete, these are movies about people in their underwear who are good fighting people who are in their underwear that are bad. Come up with some sort of space cosmic ray, whatever reason, bring him on back. It's all good. And, you know, all the better to support Wonder Woman.
Easily the title that people are looking forward to the most, what with the success breaking through of that first Wonder Woman movie. And this one with 1984, you get to do the Cold War. They're filming in DC. We're going to have Cheetah, as played by Kristen Wiig, which was a really interesting choice. So that you bring Pine back, I think, is immaterial. Gal Gadot, and what she's provided in this, again, ray of hope in the DC extended universe. I'm not using their government tag they gave it, Matt.
Well, fair enough, Pete. I'll just go ahead and call it Worlds of DC. Yeah, I think certainly tons and tons of anticipation there. Moving on from Worlds of DC, still sticking with some Warner Brothers stuff. Pete, there was some sizzle given to Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yes, and this is a sequel to the 2014 film, which I don't think enough people realize. The big question, Matt, will the alt-writers remember Rian Johnson, he of The Last Jedi, and an upcoming trilogy of his own in the Star Wars universe, will they remember he directed the 2014 Godzilla, and will it retroactively destroy their childhoods?
Pete, I can't quite get myself in that mindset one way or the other to properly know. All I can say is I feel like I have yet to see the kind of Godzilla movie that I want to see with the, well, actually, no, I take that back, Pete. I did. It was called Pacific Rim, and it was a lot of fun. It wasn't great, but it was a lot of fun. Don't know what happened to the director of Pacific Rim, if he went on to win an Oscar this last year, or maybe even two Oscars. Bottom line, Pete, I say bring on all those many, many monsters.
Yes, we're going to get Mothra. We're going to get Rodan. And I think the thing bringing them together, Matt, is Millie Bobby Brown has some experience with monsters from Strange Places.
Strange Places, indeed, there on Stranger Things. I think it's a great bit of casting, particularly if you want to get those young people to the movies and whatnot. And I mean, again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record here. With Aquaman, with Shazam, with maybe to a lesser degree Wonder Woman, certainly with Godzilla, it's okay to have a fun movie that does great in its own class. Like Aquaman's a fun movie where he fights the water guys, and Shazam, it's a kid who can do like great things, and Godzilla, a whole bunch of monsters are going to fight each other, and Millie Bobby Brown shows up to be like the audience. All of that is okay. It doesn't need to be, and there's the wonderful tale of the red violin, which symbolizes all of humanity's hopes and dreams.
There's one thing, Matt, that's missing from this trailer they may be holding back that will be my requirement for the success of this Godzilla movie in their now shared universe. And that is if the two tiny Asian women in the shell from the Toho Godzilla movies do not appear.
Well, time will tell, Pete. Sticking still with Warner Brothers, at San Diego Comic-Con, there was some footage, indeed a trailer, Pete, from Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. The first Fantastic Beasts movie was one that I completely missed. I mean, I was aware of it, but then when I finally saw it on HBO, it's wonderful, 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 wonderful. I do wonder, is this sequel with its big story and it's splashy this and going to France and whatnot, is it going to be too big compared to the modest story, albeit big canvas, of the first one? Time will tell.
This is something that it's just not on my radar. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. I apologize for, you know, not getting into it. It's just never really been my cup of tea. I think these look like worthy films. I think that now that J.K. Rowling has gotten into screenwriting, obviously it's just another medium for her to use her tremendous narrative skills. But yeah, they just have not pulled me in here. I don't anticipate checking this one out. I know Johnny Depp and Jude Law and playing the earlier version of Dumbledore and the whole thing there. But, you know, there were a lot of people that really wanted to see Johnny Depp removed from this film after the Me Too movement really kicked off in earnest with what went on with his ex-wife, Amber Heard.
Add to it the fact that, you know, Johnny Depp apparently doesn't know how to keep money at all. And, you know, his financial situation just continues to circle the drain. In the interim, I think studios are picking him up for what's probably a reduced fee and all that. I think most people who don't follow Hollywood news don't know about his financial stuff, which is hideous. Not kind of morally hideous, just like, dude, you don't need to spend $30,000 a month on wine, you know, stuff like that, if you don't have the money for it.
A $650 million largesse supposedly flushed away.
Yes.
Still, the guy's a chameleon. And we've seen with so many of these cases, There's not been a follow-up. You remember George Takei had been accused back sometime in the winter, and nothing came of it. So, you know, he gets this role. It's a big role as far as this fandom is concerned, and we'll just have to see what he does with it.
Next on the list, Pete, is the Lego Movie 2, the second part. This one produced by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, late of Han Solo, directed by Mike Mitchell and Trisha Gumm. And, you know, if this is anything like the first movie, it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, and they haven't been fired yet, so I'm sure their voice will remain intact in this movie that is just on the outside of children's memory at this point.
I'll say this too, Pete. This might be the rare case where I have the power of spoiler Pete here. Based on the trailer alone, if not even the teaser poster, I could tell you, Pete, they are giving a false villain for reasons that I don't need to particularly get into, probably because, I don't know, there's only so many people listening who are that interested in the Lego Movie 2, but the villain isn't who you think it is, because the villains are from the Lego Friends, which is the girl-oriented product line, so therefore they're not going to make all females the villain.
And to get the slot that they have that they were successful with before, I think is a key ingredient to this.
Moving on, Pete, from a PG kids movie to the Deadpool panel, Deadpool 2, which was R-rated, and though there was no Deadpool 3 nor X-Force news, Pete, there's a version of Deadpool 2 coming out that's even more R than the R-rated Deadpool 2.
Yeah, I've seen a couple things from it. I'm really excited to own it. August 21st.
Yes, that's the super duper $!!%! hashtag and sign cut. So the super duper whatever cut. It's going to have 15 to 20 minutes that that the director was asked to. They wanted to get to the 2 hour mark, which probably was the right decision just for a theatrical release. But David Leitch had 15 to 20 minutes more. They're putting that back in as a new cut of the movie. Pete, maybe not all the time, but oftentimes we say, if they have footage out there and you think it's not the best thing for sitting in a movie theater, do the extended edition. Well, they are. And I know I'll be first in line to buy this in August, next month, Pete.
Yeah, that we're going to get Avengers Infinity War and Deadpool 2 video in the same time frame in which they came out in theaters is a tremendous testament to how quick they want to get these in homeowners' hands.
Last thing on our radar from San Diego Comic-Con was the Walking Dead panel, which, you know, front and center was the confirmation. Yes, this will be Andrew Lincoln's last season.
Yeah, I think being up front with that it's bold. 9 seasons is a long time for TV. We'll talk about the trailer in a moment. And you know, I'm a longtime reader of the comic. Matt, I don't believe has read any of the comic, right?
Correct.
Okay. And I got into the comic from the show. I do prefer the comic, and I like to read ahead so I can compare. But I do it in a little bit of an unorthodox manner. I will read. They come out in compendiums, and there are 3 out so far, and there are 48 issues at a clip. So it's 4 years at a clip that I'll read, and then I'll wait for the next one. So they're just starting to get where I left off, in that trailer. We'll talk about that in a minute though, but to take Carl out, in season 8.
Wait, sorry, Pete, to take who out?
To take Carl out in
season
8.
You mean
Carl? Carl. To take Carl out in season 8 was a super interesting approach, because arguably the comic is more about him. in, you know, the 12 and on years, where I approximately am. But to get rid of Rick now and going forward, you're going to have Judith as the Grimes, and that's it, if even that. And, you know, they have their universe. They have the other show, which brought Morgan on there. And okay, but I think this is a brand that kind of has hit its apex. I've stayed with it. Matt has talked about leaving it, that they're going to bring Lincoln back and then finish him off. And then they're bringing an older star whose character was killed back in this ninth season.
Yes, and that was announced a couple of weeks ago that Shane is going to come back for some number of episodes. The assumption is three or less, just because of TV contracts, etc. But nobody's really sure in this modern world of TV that we're in. I guess we'll see how story-wise how they handle that. I'll just note that this past season of Walking Dead, season 8, is, you know, the last couple episodes, maybe with the exception of the season finale, but the average, let's say, of the last 6, 7, 8 episodes of season 8 were at season 2 levels.
Yes.
So what goes up must come down, and Andrew Lincoln is probably, just from a business point of view, and, you know, it's up to him to decide what is loyalty versus what's my paycheck versus what's just the right time as an artist or a husband or a father to leave. Just looking at the ratings, this probably has a couple of seasons left. Maybe you get to season 10, you get maybe season 11.
I think we will hear this season, we're coming back for one more, and that's it.
With special flashbacks involving Rick Grimes for 3 episodes at $1 million an episode.
But thank goodness, Matt, they were free. They were unencumbered to make these announcements, to show their teaser trailer without, you know, the 800 pounds idiot in the room.
Pete, as I'm sure our listeners know, Chris Hardwick in a little bit of trouble for
he canceled, being an man.
Ass.
He canceled.
Well, you know what? If I don't know, we'll let other people figure out the truth or the not truth. I know there's something about him that both you and I have never liked, and it's his self-centered look at me nature, yeah, which happens to be in line with the allegations of I don't know if abuse is the right word, but it's the best word I can come up with to describe what his ex-girlfriend had talked about in their relationship. But enough about Hardwick, enough breath wasted on him.
Yeah.
Yvette Nicole Brown did a wonderful job at the panel. Pete, just like she's done at New York Comic Con in the past, we've seen her do this, and you know, she's the right person for the job. She had a great tweet last week that was like, I'm not doing this to audition to be the new host of Talking Dead or whatever. I support my friend Chris while that gets sorted out, and now I'm here to represent the fans. Pete, Yvette Nicole Brown's reputation precedes herself. If she's going to give him the least little bit of support, the least I can do, the least we can all do, is not judge her for it.
The only thing that it's still labeled temporary move, which, let's be honest, she should be the person taking over Talking Dead. The only thing that it hurts is her ability as a panelist to go through. She's got that notebook of, you know, all the things she's written down through the years, being an avid fan of the show, something I don't think that other guy is, because he is never ever interested in what any of the guests on the show actually have to say. So I think with Brown's thoughtfulness, it will be a different show, and arguably one I know I'm actually looking forward to watching, despite the fact that my name has come out of that other guy's mouth twice.
I mean, if we talk Talking Dead as this trailing thing behind The Walking Dead, you know, obviously after a big Walking Dead episode, Talking Dead is going to do well in the ratings and vice versa. It might be the right time. I mean, regardless of Hardwick just being a horse's ass, to say the least, but it might be the right time for Talking Dead to simply have a new host. Again, kind of, if we can for a moment separate his situation from Talking Dead, this might give a little bit of juice to that show, in a way that it has not had. I mean, bring on the voice of the fans. She's fantastic. She's beloved. And I would say, you know, based on the life she has led in the public eye, mm-hmm. she's unimpeachable in terms of, you know, like, what can you criticize her for? She's a devout, hardworking person. She's loyal to her friends. She embraces the fan communities, whether it's from Community Capital C or some, you know, Walking Dead, whatever it might be. She's wonderful.
Yeah, but enough about people don't turn out, Matt, for the hosts. They turn out for the content. And we did get a rather substantial season 9 trailer focusing on the aftermath of the all-out war with the Saviors. And we get what the comics gives us. We have Negan, a prisoner of Rick. There's not a ton of the Daryl, Maggie, Jesus looking to undermine Rishon, you know, Rick and Michonne there, who they felt at the end of the season had made the wrong call with Negan, something that does not go on in the comics because Daryl doesn't exist, and we never really get much of what the other characters think about the strategy. But the bigger thing, which occurs in the second tag to this trailer, is that we have a couple of characters who cover themselves up with mud as a horde is coming by. And then we got our first hint at the Whisperers, Matt, because the zombies talk now.
I guess add to all this is the speculation for, you know, to what degree will Lauren Cohen play a role in the season? I think, you know,
she's all over this trailer, man.
Well, you know, I think that Walking Dead played it wrong, betting that she would have to come back because the ABC show wouldn't get picked up. Their worst case scenario happened, which is she didn't have a contract with Walking Dead. They didn't loop her in. So she went out and got one of the most prominent pilot roles. I mean, we'll see whether her new show is, you know, if it's going to stick around. I mean, there are high profile hits, high profile misses every TV year. I think anticipation for Whiskey Cavalier, which is her upcoming show, it's through the roof. She also has enough largesse where she could have said in her Whiskey Cavalier contract, I want the ability to do, you know, 8 episodes of Walking Dead during the Whiskey Cavalier off season. And she could have said, if you don't like that, fine, I'll go back to Walking Dead. You know, she could have held both shows over the barrel here, which, Pete, if that's not a message that we need in this current age, that Lauren Cohen probably held two shows by the cojones there and said, give me what I want, both shows, more power to her.
Yeah, this was the San Diego Comic-Con in the post-Me Too era, and for the most part, getting it right.
And, I mean, again, not to continue to beat the drum here of Lauren Cohen, but if with the character of Rick leaving, I mean, she could really end up in a position here where, no, I'm going to be the biggest star on both of these shows simultaneously, or, you know, if she's so inclined to work 12 months out of the year and all that. Bottom line, though, Pete, I think plenty of people still watch The Walking Dead. It still is a major force on cable. The notion that it is circling the bowl ratings wise, I mean, that's not true either. Again, lower ratings, but it still is a major, major force. And if they hit it right, if they reinvigorate this fan base, the people who have continued to watch, I mean, I've been watching since the first episode, you know, those people will be reinvigorated. Some of the people who've fallen away or who are watching, you know, time delayed or on demand or waiting for it to hit Netflix or Blu-ray or whatever, they'll come back if it's a show worthy of it. So take these challenges and make an even better show.
It's clear that they've peaked. They're never going to get back to those record setting levels they were at for this era. But if they can reboot this, reinvigorate it, as you said, I think there could be life in The Walking Dead.
I'll just point out that the most watched the second most watched episode ever was that 90 minute or 2 hour just heartbreaker that after that the march to decreased ratings happened. So don't forget, fans matter, Pete. Just like our fans matter, and here's an opportunity for us to say thank you to everybody who has supported us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Absolutely. We could not do this without you. We've just spent significant time updating our Iron Fist podcast, our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, our Cloak and Dagger podcast with all the news out of San Diego Comic-Con, bringing you this potpourri here today. And if not for Patreon, it does not happen. So if you think you have what it takes, you want to contribute, get yourself to Patreon, patreon.com/fantasticgeek with the PH, all one word. There's all sorts of levels to pick from, but everybody who contributes gets exclusive podcast content.
Pete, the best, though, is always free. That's being able to talk to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 9,925 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on fantasticgeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/fantasticgeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, we thank everybody who is listening to us in the Pop Culture Podcast feed. All this stuff coming out of San Diego has been such a joy to talk about. We have stuff ahead. We have stuff behind us. Of course, beyond this San Diego bump, we are going to be wrapping up Luke Cage. We're going to be continuing to talk Cloak and Dagger. We have some good secret stuff planned for August as well. And before you know it, the fall will be here and there'll be fall movies, fall TV shows, etc. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Bye-bye.